What we're dealing with is in Mark chapter 11, as we've been dealing with thus far, is seeing Jesus. Tonight we're going to say, seeing Jesus' authority is seeing him. Seeing Jesus' authority is seeing him. If a person does not see Jesus' authority, you still don't see him yet. You still don't see him yet, and there will be dire consequences if you don't. There's great benefits if you do. Let's roll this thing out and let's see what's going on here. In verse 20, we pick up from where we were last time when we were in the book of Mark. And Jesus had already cursed the fig tree. And this time, after he had cursed the fig tree, he went back to the temple. And the people were still up to their, I'll call it shenanigans, beating people out of their money, taking the advantages of people, holding themselves as they are in the position of, I'm God's people. And Jesus comes in there and knocks over their tables and their money and calls them as they are a den of thieves and robbers. And the people in the latter part of verse 18 were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 19 says, and when he was come, he went out into the city. We stopped there pretty much at a good place to bring us into our next message. Verse 20 says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. The fig tree that Jesus had cursed, the fig tree that Jesus said no more fruit would grow on you forever, which is an amazing thing to me. Because if he can say that about the fig tree and no more fruit growing you forever, if he can say, I'm tired of you looking like you would have something and you don't. If this same Jesus' words can stop the wind and the storm from happening, what happens if he says that to someone like me? I'm tired of you, Tim. I'm tired of you, whoever you are. It's over. No more opportunity for you to have fruit forever. What do you mean, Tim? Because there are so many times in the scripture that God would use the prophets to let them illustrate things through their lives. I would submit to you that in this particular thing, the fig tree had represented Israel before. And what about that temple? What about that temple that was supposed to be producing? What about that temple that was supposed to be leading people to God? What about that temple that was supposed to be the house of prayer for all nations? And they got it separated. And you got a court of the Gentiles over here. You got a court of the women over here. You got certain people and classifications over here. And they all were supposed to be able to come to God's temporary house, if we say, and worship. And on top of that, you in here making big money and you've made it politicized and you're letting a foreign government have something to say. And you're not producing the kind of people that God wants. Tim, where did you get this? I'll tell you. When we see Paul begin to break down what was going on in the book of Galatians, Paul said that those people that thought they had the inheritance did not have it. Wait. But they said they were Abraham's seed. But Paul said there was two types of people. There was one woman that was bound. There was one that was free. One was Hagar and one was Sarah. Sarah was the free. He said there was two mountains, one in Arabia and one is Jerusalem. Tim, what are you talking about? If we were to take and condense what Paul said in that book of Galatians, what he was saying is that the inheritance was given to Abraham before a law was ever given. In Genesis 15, we can see that Abraham wouldn't know, how shall I know I'll inherit this? God made a covenant and said it would be to his seed, one, not many. Therefore, when you read the book of Galatians, the people that thought that they had the inheritance did not have the inheritance because they thought they had it based on genealogy. But the true inheritance would come through that seed, which was one, which is Christ. And if we're in that Christ, we are the inheritors. So, Jesus is showing even here that the inheritance does not come from this temple. Jesus is showing that in this temple you all have lost your way. Jesus is showing that you're not producing the fruit that would give people back to God like he wanted it to be. It's not even a house of prayer anymore. You have made it a den of thieves and robbers. Go on, what we talking about, a den of thieves and robbers. There he says this. This is where the robbers would take their stuff and they go and put their loot. You all have made this a business. Well, the word of God say, when we get through with that background information, it says, and Peter recalling to remembrance what was said. When they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter recalling or calling to remembrance said, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. I explain all that other stuff in brief to say that there comes a time when judgment will be done. This time came when there was a prophecy that was made. I see that you're not producing, Israel. I see that you're not producing in this temple. I saw the fig tree is not producing. I'm showing you that I have the ability to call it as it is. And when I pronounce my judgment upon your unproductiveness, it's over. They saw the fig tree that he cursed withered. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, shall have whatever he saith. Well, that would be very, very problematic for us today, because there are people that say, everything that I say, I let my words be positive. I let my words say that I say, and I'm going to believe in my belief. What you say to him? I'm going to believe in my belief, and those things that I speak with my mouth is going to come to pass, because this is what Jesus said. Well, is this really what Jesus said? Do we rip this part of what Jesus said away from what has been happening? Do we just snatch it away from what has been happening and say, now I can say what I want to say and have faith in my faith, and then say I'm having faith in God, which is really diametrically different many times, because God is not going to have you to say something that's outside of his will, number one. Number two, what has just happened? What has just been happening? What has just been happening has been talking about what happened before I read this verse, and no doubt because of the way this is set up, what's happening afterwards. Jesus has seen a fig tree that looks like it's producing, and it's not. Jesus had gone to a temple that looks like it's producing the things of God, but it's not. Jesus cursed the fig tree and said, you'll bear no more forever. Jesus actually went in and ran the people out of the temple and basically pronounced something on them. We'll get to that in chapter 13. Yes, we will. When he talks about what's going to happen in Jerusalem in that temple area. But when he says, have faith in God. When he says, if you say to this mountain, be moved and cast into the sea, what would be the mountain? One, you could look, they could look across Jerusalem and see what how Herod had changed the landscape with the temple and the things that he built, moving earth from one side to the other. They could look and see, if they were familiar with the scripture, what was said in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah was talking and he said, in the scripture, then he answered and spake to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Wait a minute. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. You should be removed. You should be brought down. You a big mountain. You should become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstand, the headstone thereof, and shouting with grace, or crying grace. What I want you to understand, and what I want us to understand, mountains being removed is something that is an idiom, something that is talked about in the Jewish nation. And in order for me to prove that, I said, well, at least let me show it in the scripture. If I can show it in the scripture, then I don't have to go back and talk about every time that that thing would have been mentioned in the Jewish culture. What was a big obstacle here? In this passage, someone is being talked about, who art thou, great mountain? You are a big thing. But before Zerubbabel, my boy, you become a plain. A big obstacle that we see, we think this fruit tree bearing fruit is a problem. Withered. This temple not bearing the fruit brought down to nothing. But is there anybody that can be saved? Is there anybody that can surmount this and still bring forth fruit? Have faith in God. What do you mean, Tim? Those of us that are familiar with the scripture and going through the book of Acts, we found that instead of this temple being the very thing to bring about fruitfulness, those that will be true to God in spirit and in truth, they would be able to bring forth the fruitfulness, because God is going to have a seed. God is going to accomplish that which he has set forth to do. And I guarantee you, not only were they able to do this, but in what is called a millennial reign, there will be another temple that will do God's service. Well, let's see if all of that fits what's going on. It says, and Jesus said, have faith in God, but verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain. Now, don't think that every mountain that you see, it was one in particular, one thing he's talking about, and be removed and cast to the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have what he saith. He says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, somebody would say, Tim, this is talking about everything. Tim, this is talking about whenever you pray, you can try to fix this all you want to with content. You can fix this all you want to with context. I will tell you right now, when I read the scripture, these very apostles, the very ones that's saying this or that's repeating this, the very one that Peter is supposed to be the author of the book of Mark, he was crucified. Peter himself had something to say, and it was wrong. And something to do, and it was wrong, and Paul withstood him to the face in Galatians chapter 2. Peter had to go and argue his case in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts of some things that he did. This is not being able to name it and claim it. But these men were under the authority where Jesus had given them the ability to cast out demons, to preach the gospel, and to bring people into the kingdom. These men would have obstacles that would come their way. One of the obstacles that they had was one time they couldn't cast out a demon in a boy. But they had been given the authority. They had been told what to do. And by them not doing it, they showed a lack of faith in God. We went through that. We talked what Jesus told them, this type goeth out only by prayer. And fasting was in there. And I made the point that in some of the passages or some of the manuscripts, it didn't say fasting. Here, we see something similar, but it doesn't look similar. Verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I believe that when an individual is in the will of God and God has given them a directive, you pray. I believe that the individual, this will fit for them. But primarily, this is something that they were doing in the ministry. And I will show you in just a second. And it says, and when you stand praying, often the Jews would pray standing up, lifting their hands to heaven. We see sometimes what they call the wailing wall. You'll see them even today still standing at the wall praying. It says, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. It's reminiscent of when Jesus said, when you pray and you ask the Father to forgive you, you forgive. If you don't, you ask him to forgive as you forgive. Jesus is showing the disciples, those that follow him, it's imperative that you have an attitude of forgiveness so that you may be forgiven when you pray. But verse number 26 says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. It's imperative for an individual that's going to execute and walk in the will of God and bring people to the knowledge of God that he can't go around hating people, holding things against people. It's not about you, as I've been told by this woman over here. It's about God and what he's doing. Well, let's bring this thing on out, Mark. Help us to see it. It says, and when they would come to Jerusalem, as he was walking in the temple, back at the temple where he was, there came unto him chief priests, scribes, and elders. These are the big men, the top men. The chief priest, the one that the individual that would make the sacrifice, the scribes, the one that would interpret the law, the elders, the one that people obeyed and listened to. And they said to him, what authority doest thou these things? Now, understand, these things is a lot of things. But the last thing you did, you just kicked some people out because they don't know about the fig tree. But you've told them you're Lord of the Sabbath. You healed somebody on the Sabbath. You healed a man and you told him his sins were forgiven. Yeah, you did. You let your disciples eat with unwashed hands and you make it like it's no big deal. By what authority? You going and kicking somebody out of the temple. Knocking over. This is how we do it. Who do you think you are? By what authority? Man, you ain't nothing. And we got you now. You better not say it's of God. Because if you say it's of God, we're going to say you did blasphemy. We're going to have you put to death. You're going against your leader. When you do that, you're going against the leader. You're saying what we're doing is wrong. You're going against the Sanhedrin, the court. How dare you, one man with a few followers. By what authority? By what right? Rome is backing us. We got the people saying God is backing us. And here you are with your mess. And I want to know, by what authority did you do these things? If you say it's God, we got you. If you say you're doing it on your own, who are you? We want to know. Speak up, because now I think we feel like we got you where we want you. So what did Jesus do? The scripture says they want to know by what authority and who gave it to you. Because most time they didn't think people had it on their own. And remember, they already had accused Jesus of having his authority from the devil. The word there for authority is exousia, or the power. And so Jesus is being pulled in by these men, and I think what they've done right now is really, if it weren't him being who he is, I think it was a magnificent question. I think it was something that was very poignant, and I think they really, if they were had it just like they thought they did, they'd have it made. But they're dealing with Jesus. So let's see what the scripture says. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will ask you, or also ask you, one question, or one thing. And answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. And read it in your voice for me, please, verse 29.
And Jesus answered and said unto them,
mm-hmm.
I will also ask of you one question, and answer me. And I will tell you by what authority I do these things.
You asking me by what authority I do these things? You come and put me to the test? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll deal with you in a rabbinic method. I'm not answering your question with a question at all. What I'm doing, I'm giving you a counter question. You want some information from me? I'll give you the information if you give me the information that I want. Now, if I don't give you the information that you want, when you answer the question, I'll be a liar. Mm-hmm. You want to enter in? You want to test me? Let's see what authority you have to ask me a question. Let's see what authority you have to try me. Let's see what your motives are. Let's see what your integrity is. Let's see who you are. You want to put yourself up as a judge of me and what I do. Let's see if you walk in integrity and righteousness. So I ask you a question. And if you answer me, I'll be glad to answer you. Because anything that you think that you got right now that you can use against me, when you answer this question, it's going to be blown all the way up. Question Jesus asks is what, Ann?
The baptism of John.
The baptism of John. What is the baptism of John? Tim, tell me. I'll be glad to do it. You see, when John came baptizing, John said, you know what? The kingdom of God is at hand. He said that you need to come. You must come. Need. When I'm saying need, I don't mean want to. I'm saying that it is necessary for salvation for you to come and repent for your sins. That's what John said. And John said that the axe is laid to the root of the tree. The problem is the root. The problem is the root. The problem with that fig tree was the root. And the root was withered up. It was dried up from the root. And the tree was withered. The problem at this temple right now is the root. The root is that you all have not gave yourselves over to what John said. Yes, yes, he did say it. You come and repent for your sins and be baptized. Yes, you all are not right. That's what John said. You ain't right. Now you come and get baptized. When you come and get baptized for your sins and wash and quit saying you got Abraham as your father, Abraham is not really your father. He's not your father unless you are those that believe. And John said he can make stones children of Abraham is deep. Because stones don't have sperm in them. But the seed of promise. That means anything that would be made to get up and praise God could be Abraham's seed. So Jesus said the baptism of confessing sins, the baptism of repenting, the baptism of John. Where did it come from? Read it again with that little light that I brought in. 29.
The baptism of John.
Uh-huh.
Was it from heaven or of men?
The baptism that I just spoke about, Darius. He said, was it from heaven? See, the Jews, a lot of time, wouldn't mention God's name. They could have said Yahweh. They could have sometimes said, they would sometimes say Adonai instead of God. And sometimes in the Hebraic word, they would say Ha Shemayim, which means the heaven. Jesus used their term that they use, heaven. But he didn't mean that heaven got authority, heaven can think. It was a word that was used for another word, which means, was it from God or of men? Beautiful question. Because John said, all of you all need to be baptized. John said, all of you need to be baptized and you need to repent for your sins. Did you all do it? So the baptism that John gave, was it from heaven or man? What did they say? Go ahead and finish, Precious.
Answer me.
Answer. You know, answer me. Speak up. You see, what happened is when John was baptizing, a man came to John one day. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And it was Jesus. John said, I'm not worthy to baptize him. He said it aloud. He did. And the heavens opened. And the word of God said, the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. And it was said that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. John said that Jesus was the very one that would take away the sins of the world. And so Jesus asked him, the baptism of John, was it from God or heaven or of men? Answer me. Verse 31 said what?
And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did ye not believe him?
We know. If we say it's from heaven, we know what John said about him. We weren't in the dark. See, if someone would say, Tim, they didn't know. You just think they knew. No, they knew. They said, if we say from heaven or from God, then he'll say, why didn't you believe him? John said, I'm the truth. If John is from God and he's a prophet, not only was he a prophet, Let me tell you how strong it is. John is now a martyred prophet, a killed prophet, one that stood up against Herod and told the unadulterated, unvarnished truth. And John said that this is the one that God has sent.
We know what John said about him.
And John said, we need to repent. If we say that John's baptism is from heaven, we are indicted, because now we know by what authority he kicked us out of the temple. We were wrong for that. We were wrong in what we were doing. We really are a den of thieves and robbers. We can't say that. We it's too powerful. It will show that we were even wrong to come and question him like that. By what authority? We supposed to already know. We already supposed to know you the man. We already know why you were kicking. If we say that your authority came from God, we are so indicted. We are so wrong for that. Read on.
But if we shall say of men, they feared the people. For all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed.
We want to say you got your authority from somebody else. We want to say it. But not only are we wrong, but we're cowards. We wicked and we dirty and we low down. We like taking money from people in the name of religion. We love our position of authority where people look up to us. And you are the problem. So if we were to open our lips in a fanciful way and say, well, you know, his power, his authority come from men. We have just discredited John. We have just insulted their intelligence. Because they saw John as he was, as a prophet. And so what did these dirty, lying, conniving, thieving men that did not see Jesus' authority as something that they should submit to? Because they saw the authority, they are indicting themselves by accusing him. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But they refused to see him in his authority as the one that has the final judgment on their life. As the one that truly had the power, like he said, to forgive sins, as when they had problems with it. Read the rest of that, precious.
And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell.
Oh, they could not tell. Yeah, they got a reason they cannot tell, because it will expose us. Most people that don't see Jesus' authority, when they have been exposed to the word of God, they can't tell. They still act like I'm still having to make up my mind. I still need more information. I still need to know something. You're a damnable liar. Let me just say it the way it's supposed to be said. You are a damned liar. What, Tim, you cussed. Well, you know, some people don't understand English language. When we get to Mark chapter 16, we'll see where Jesus said, he that believes not is damned. When we go back to John, if they want to go on the web and see John chapter 3, verse 17, he that believes not is condemned already. That's the word damned. A damned lie is something that someone that's already condemned to the eternal judgment that God will give to those that will not take God's forgiveness, will not submit to the sovereignty of his blessed son. And these men saw the authority. They saw him in his authority and said, I like what I have now. More the money, the praise, the prestige, than I like being subservient to him. We fear the people. So what we'll say is we can't tell, yet we call ourselves judges. And so what did Jesus say to those ignorant?
And Jesus answering said unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do.
You don't care about the truth. You can't handle the truth. Because you want to distort it. I won't tell you. What good will it do you? What good will it do? I won't tell you either. Because you've just indicted yourself by your, what the word is called, obfuscation. That's when you try to hide and you try to back, call it crawfish your way out of this. Do we really see Jesus and his authority? Do we really see that having faith in God will really produce fruitfulness? Here Jesus is getting the problem out of the way. His illustration in John chapter 15, every branch in me that bears not fruit, I break it off and get rid of it. All Jews didn't fit into that category because he had some following him. John was one that followed him. I just said, well, John didn't follow him. John was a disciple. Rest fully assured, if Jesus said there's no greater prophet than John, and John prepared the way for him, and Jesus tells John, blessed is he that will not be offended in me. John was following him, but not in the same manner that the disciples did. John was on the same program with Jesus. What program are we on? Do we even realize what authority? Do we realize that this is not optional? Maybe other people will make fun of you. Maybe people will not like you if you see Jesus for the authority that he has. The authority is still there, whether you can tell or not. There comes a time, there will come a time, that as an individual, you can either be dried up by the roots because you fail to produce, or there comes a time when you see that you're not producing, that you'll have faith in God. And whatever obstacle it is in your life that's keeping you from producing, whether it's producing in yourself or producing that which God wants you to do, there comes a time that you're going to have to just get up on your hind legs and have faith in what God says and move on with the move on. As some people say, move forward with him. Seeing Jesus is seeing his authority. If you see his authority and see who gave the authority, then you'll see yourself as a position in the position of one that's following the right one. If not, if you don't see Jesus and his authority, you can be just like these people. You can see it intellectually, but you don't see it as having the significance that it does, and you'll miss him.
That you don't see it as having the significance that it does on your mission. Now I'm going to open up for any type of discussion on this passage right here. Anyone that's on the conference line, is there anyone that have anything that they would like to add to or mention on this passage?